A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 19, 1996, in the series I Do Believe, entitled The Holy Catholic Church. The scripture readings are Ephesians 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 16, and Mark 11. Verses 15 through 19 and 27 through 33. The texts for the sermon are Ephesians 4, verse 4, and Mark 11, verse 28. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
It's always a marvelous experience to celebrate the sacrament of baptism here, and I'm sure that you noted in the liturgy that when the children were baptized, they were not baptized, there was no mention of the Reformed Church in America. When they were baptized, there was no mention of Christ Community Church. Because the sacrament of baptism belongs to the Holy Catholic Church. It is not the prerogative of any particular human organization to claim that for itself. We celebrate the baptism of the grace of God in the Holy Catholic Church, which transcends every organizational arrangement of that church. You'll also notice that there was no baptism in my name, because I am simply a servant of the sacrament, simply the incidental one who has the privilege of applying the waters of baptism. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is not a personality cult, and there is no personal prerogative over against those sacraments. No, it's not an organizational matter, a human arrangement. It's not a personal prerogative. It is a sacrament of the Holy Catholic Church. And I say that, having had the baptisms this morning, but I would have said it anyway, because this congregation is facing a critical decision this morning. It is a critical decision. A vote will be cast which will determine the future of this people. The vote is all about not organization or human leadership. It is all about the grace of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the form of community that issues from the word of the living God. There are two things I want to say to you this morning about your vote. And the first is that you ought not to vote no to the resolution because you put too much stock in the Reformed Church in America. The Reformed Church in America is a denomination. A denomination is a human arrangement. It is a human structure. It is an organization. And the Holy Catholic Church is something far greater than any particular structural human arrangement. As a matter of fact, denominations are more a sign of the sinfulness of the church than the spirituality of the church. Denominations, many of them have arisen out of ethnic origin, maybe even most of them out of doctrinal conflict. The proliferation of Protestantism and its splitting and fragmenting after the 16th century rending of the Roman Catholic Church is a witness to the cussedness of us humankind. Now, denominations are human arrangements, organizational structures, not synonymous with the Holy Catholic Church. There are strong emotional ties to denominational families. That's quite all right. Meaningful relationships, shared history. That's very important and very meaningful to many. Nonetheless, the thing we're about this morning is far larger than those human emotional ties to a particular organizational form. So you ought not to vote no because you absolutize a denomination. Second thing I want to say is you ought not to vote yes as an indication of personal support for me. Because the Church of Jesus Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, is not a personality cult, and it must not be built around any human servant of that institution. That's not to say that I have not been greatly sustained and deeply touched by literally hundreds of cards and letters, phone calls, balloons, Hershey kisses, raisin bread, roses, daisies, and all of the marvelous outpouring of affection and support. But finally, the Holy Catholic Church is not about human leadership. It is about the shape of the grace of God in concrete human community. Thus, not an organizational question this morning, not a human leadership question this morning. The issue is the nature of this community, our understanding of the gospel of grace, our understanding of the interpretation of the Scripture, our understanding of how the gospel is translated into our context in order that it connects with our present human experience. The issue this morning is what kind of a community do we want to be? Now, don't hear me saying that institutional forms are not important. They certainly are. Spirit always seeks form. Spirit needs form. There would not be any movement perpetuated past the initial experience if there were not institutional forms, organizational forms. Spirit needs form. And let me say as well, the Church of Jesus Christ needs human leadership. But organizational forms and human leaders, that's all we got. I don't put that down. I don't denigrate the Reformed Church in America as a denomination, as an organization. I don't put myself down as a human leader in the Holy Catholic Church. But I'm simply saying to you that the organization is fallible, the leaders are flawed, the organization may never be absolutized, the leader may never be idolized. The issue is the message. The issue is the fruit of the message in concrete community. That's what we're about today. Now, it has always been the case throughout history that the Holy Catholic Church has been expressed in organizations and led by humans, and there has been a tension between the organizational structure and human leadership. Down through the centuries, spirit seeks form. Form conveys spirit. Form eventually imprisons spirit. Spirit shatters forms and finds new creative freedom of expression. I don't care if you're in the field of politics, education, religion. It's always the same. It's the human predicament. That's all we have. Human organizations, human leaders, all agents, instruments pointing to something bigger, something beyond, something transcendent. I do believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I do believe that God, by God's Spirit, has always had a people in all times and all places. God, by God's Spirit, has gathered a people together and graced a people, drawn a people, called a people to worship and to witness in every place, in all times, the Holy Catholic Church. I don't believe in the Church. The Apostles' Creed says, I believe the Holy Catholic Church. I believe that essence that takes on concrete form. But the reality is always deeper, more wonderful than the flawed and fallible organizational structure or the human leadership. Again, the issue this morning is the message that has resulted in a concrete community. The vote will determine the kind of community that we want to become. This is really nothing new. I doubt that I have ever preached to people who have been more alert and aware than in the last few weeks. I'd sort of like to create a crisis about every 6 months. That's a positive. It is a good thing when the body of Christ becomes aware of itself and says, who in the world are we and what in the world is God doing? And so this morning we have a high privilege of making a determination with self-consciousness and attentionality. The crises in the history of the people of God have been moments of newness and breakthrough. Jesus created a crisis. Mark's gospel has him coming to Jerusalem just one time. He comes to Jerusalem and he comes to the temple and he's angry about what he sees, and in a prophetic action that is symbolic, he overturns the money changers' tables and clears the place out. Now, I used to think what he was really concerned about was the fact that there were baked goods for sale in the narthex and raffle tickets in the booth. But looking at it a little more deeply, that prophetic symbolic action was a challenge to the whole temple system. That whole arrangement by which the entrenched authorities had determined in the life of Israel at that point who was in and who was out, who was pure and who was impure, who was up and who was down. A neat system, authenticated by the temple itself. And Jesus challenged that whole arrangement and called that people back to its roots, back to its tradition, back to faithfulness to God, the God of all mercy, the God of all grace, the God who is accessible to all of those who had been ruled out of bounds. Well, when you do that kind of thing, the organization people will call you to account. And so the caretakers of the institution, the guardians of the tradition, threatened by him, afraid of him, says Mark, confronted him with a question, which is the right question. By what authority do you do this? Who gave you this authority? Well, of course, Jesus knew what was up. And so, in his own inimitable manner, he said, well, I'll answer you if you answer me a question. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it of God or of human origin? John the Baptist had created quite a stir. He had preached hell and damnation on the banks of the Jordan, and all Jerusalem had streamed out to hear him. And the people who heard him sensed that they were hearing a prophetic voice that came from God. And so now, the temple authorities confronting Jesus are faced with their own dilemma. If we say of God, he'll say, why then didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, they feared the people because the people knew they had heard a prophet of God. And so, fascinating, isn't it? The leaders of the whole temple establishment, the religious leaders of the nation, gathering in front of this one, refused to give an opinion about a contemporary religious figure who's causing quite a stir outside the city. They say, how should we know? And so Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Because Jesus knew that it wasn't an honest question. Jesus knew they were not at all interested in the answer. Jesus knew that they had hardened their hearts, blinded their eyes, and were deaf in their ears. And nothing was going to change. And so he refused to answer them. Well, there's the classic conflict between the caretakers of the humanly structured organization who have an interest in maintaining it, a vested interest, but also a concern to preserve the best of the past and convey the spirit that once burned so brightly. And over against them, the prophetic voice, the visionary, who could see the hollowness of the forms and the frailty of the structure, the inadequacy of the arrangement, and who exposed it, creating fear and threat in their hearts, and yet not doing so because he wanted to destroy, only wanting to dismantle in order that there might be something new arise. For the caretakers of the institution, when the fires are banked and the fervor is cooling, get in a frenzy to make believe it isn't true. But that prophetic voice points to what the people really know, and that is that the Spirit has moved elsewhere and is blazing new trails. Therefore, the prophet calls for revision, for repentance, and for renewal, in order that the ongoing experience of the people of God might be in connection with the voice of the living God, and the people in their day might sense themselves addressed by the living voice. There was a defining moment in the negotiations 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm not a part of the negotiation, thank God. I wasn't there, but it was reported to me that one of our own put everything in perspective when he said to them, if Dick Rem falls over dead tomorrow, we will ask you for someone like him to lead us into the realization of that statement that is our identity. When I heard that, my heart leaped. I can't tell you what a burden was lifted from my shoulders, that it was coming from the leadership of this congregation, that the issue was not me, the issue. There's the message that has shaped the community to which this people is committed. The person who made that statement, John Vanienam. John and Marianne have been here for 25 years. Prior to that, they were in a Reformed congregation. They were baptized in their respective Reformed congregations. And Marianne never tires of reminding everybody that John is not only Dutch. I mean, is there any more miserable name to spell or pronounce? Marianne lets the cat out of the bag that John is not only Dutch. John is from Zealand. Zealand. John Vanienam from Zeeland. He said to the negotiating group from classes, the issue's not Dick Rem. The issue is the experience of the gospel of grace in concrete form in this community. That's what we're about. And I would say to the classes of Muskegon, is this of God or human origin? Is there the grace of God in the transformation of human persons? The nurturing of children in the love of God, the challenging of young people to follow the way of Jesus, the compassionate caring one for another. Is this God or of human origin? If it is of God, why are you troubling us? And if it is of human origin, then how do you explain this? If what I see in you, in the stories you tell me, is not a reflection of an authentic work of God, I've got it wrong. But if it is, I don't have to say another word.